Yeah.
It's feeling hot in here.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. What do we do now?
Let's get it on.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the music they're playing at the Linkin Park Zoo right now.
Mm-hmm.
As they're trying to get two polar bears to, kind of feel the love, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. This was a great story the Tribune yesterday about the polar bear program at Linkin Park Zoo. And Dave Bernier is with us. He's general curator of animal care, the animal care department at Linkin Park. And I, by the way, one of the great zoos in the world. It's free. It's one of the most picturesque places on earth.
Love it. And great programming.
Amazing.
Kids, it's beyond.
There's not enough to say, not enough good things to say about the work that they do at the Linkin Park Zoo. But this polar bear exhibit, which is now at the very north end of the zoo, right? Almost up against
Fullerton. They move things around a little bit.
And they've expanded this.
Expanded.
They had it's much better than it was. It used to be just sort of like a deep dive pool, and you look down under the polar bears, and they were like, "Hey, we're down here."
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You could see them underwater and also up on land.
But now they have it. Now you can still see it. You get actually a better view of them underwater, mm-hmm. and they have a big like comfortable space that they're in. But you had Dave. You had unfortunately. We lost one of the polar bears in the fall, a female you brought in a young male to try to do this breeding program. What is this? There's a national network breeding program for polar bears, right?
Yeah, there is. And hi, Ro. Hi, Anna. It's nice to be on the show.
Thank you.
Yes, through the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, there's a polar bear species survival plan. And that plan is run by a volunteer. Her name is Dr. Randy Myerson. She works at Detroit Zoo. And she coordinates all of the planning for the entire North American population of polar bears.
And you, so you have this, so you have the female, she passed away, and it was unexpected, right? She just started to have organ failure.
Yeah, she did. There was, several complications with that, and ultimately, we didn't have any treatments for her. And that was very sad. We were very sad to lose her at that time. It was right before we were going to get into the cubbing season. So, and that's the time of year when all the females kind of go into their dens, or not cubbing season, I mean denning season.
Mm-hmm.
They go into their dens, and we, most places cross their fingers and hope that their female polar bears are pregnant, and which they won't find out until probably sometime in early December.
Well, how does this work? With all the zoos get together, you try to match up polar bears that would be likely to like each other? I mean, what kinds of things do you look at in order to figure out which bears go where?
A lot of it boils down to the genetics of the population. So there's a stud book that lists all the animals that have ever been in the North American population, and that book helps to understand the lineage of each polar bear and how they're related to each other. And then from that information, recommendations for pairings are made so that we're putting together the least related animals in the population.
Right. Like a nicking system like we do in horse racing. It's a sort of the
Yes,
the
exactly.
Same kind
and
of
a lot of it came out of like cattle breeding and those kinds of things, those kinds of pedigrees that were kept.
Yeah. So now here's the thing. So we got you had the young male who arrived last year to breed with now the older female who passed away. So then he was left by himself, upset. He had to spend the winter.
Sure.
It's bad, very upset. So, now you brought this female in, and she's from Philadelphia. Is that right?
She came from Toledo.
Toledo,
Detroit. I'm sorry, Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay, so the female. Oh, then she's street smart. So she comes over. Now she's young too, right?
She's 13.
Oh. Okay, how long do bears live to be, polar bears?
Females into their early 20s, and I think males a little younger than that.
Okay, and so, she's sort of in the prime breeding world, like the age here?
Yeah, she is, and so is he. He's 8, so they're both in prime condition right now.
Oh, look at that. Okay, so now the 13-year-old, this is the female here, she is... has she had cubs before?
No, she hasn't. She's been introduced to a couple of other males before, but hasn't produced any offspring yet.
But as I read in the Tribune yesterday, and it was a little bit like animal dirty talk.
Very detailed.
Yeah. she's been presenting to this young man, right? I don't know.
Yeah, what are you looking for there?
Yeah, what does that mean?
So, you know, initially there's a little bit of posturing by both bears in order to establish kind of who's in charge of what's going to happen here, and it's the female's in charge.
I was going to say, we know she's in charge.
Yeah, so he figured that out pretty quickly, but then what happens is they're in the same spaces, and he's pursuing her. Like, he'll follow her everywhere. He kind of won't leave her alone. He's very obsessed with her. He wants to be near her all the time, but she'll face him or she'll move away from him, but when she's receptive to him, she'll either turn her back or allow him to go behind her, and that's what we call like presenting to him.
Oh, I tried that at the bar. Doesn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. No, Kev, it's
you
a different
show your backside
now.
Hey,
but what's interesting is they've been muzzle nuzzling, right?
Is that real? Does that happen?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, he wants to be in close contact with her all the time. She has less patience for that, I think. So he'll keep inching closer and closer and ultimately try to nuzzle her, you know, around her neck, around her face, mm-hmm. and then sidle alongside of her, and then ultimately behind her. So that's kind of the...
He sounds a little clingy.
Well, he's a little clingy. And it's annoying her at the moment, but she also gets that...
She'll come around.
It's a bit of a dance.
She'll come around.
Yeah, it is a bit... It's fascinating, though, this whole idea of the nuzzle, and she's kind of playing him off a little bit. And then they get into now this this denning season is when? Is it now?
No, the denning season won't start until like late summer.
Okay.
Or in the fall when the females and males, they'll want to separate. The females will look to den up in preparation for giving birth in the winter.
Okay, so now when do they start doing the baby making? Is that before the denning season or is that
Oh yeah.
That's like now?
Right now. Yeah.
And how long is the gestation period for a polar bear?
It ranges it's kind of complicated. It's like 200 to 265 days, but they're have delayed implantation, so they might have a fertilized egg now, but they won't really start the offspring won't start developing until September or October.
So when would they be born?
Usually in December.
Oh, interesting. Oh, so they're born like in the den, and then they emerge.
Correct.
Right.
So they spend another. If they have cubs, the female will spend another 4 to 6 weeks in the den with the cubs until they're old enough to move on their own.
Does the sun trigger them on this, like the daylight and all that, in terms of where they know where they are in the season?
I think they're very seasonal in general, and I think being in northern climate helps. So a little bit of the sun, a little bit of the weather mm-hmm. are definitely cues for them.
Interesting.
It's going to sound wrong, but do you ever do IVF or things like that with polar bears? And then does the relationship still matter because they're going to be in the enclosure together? I mean, is this all done
Good
naturally?
Question.
Yeah, it's all done naturally. They have to, you know, they have to come to this point on their own. It's complicated. They don't just have like a regular cycle. They actually need.
I've heard that before.
They need to be bred in order to then have an egg available for fertilization.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder to do something like AI on a species like that.
Yeah, right. And go to the guy and try to get the sample and see what happens. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that
tricky guy.
I don't want to listen.
Okay, bro, go in the polar bear enclosure.
Wait, what? I mean, it's a deal. All right, now how many polar bears? I don't know if you have all these numbers, but Dave, how many polar bear cubs are born in captivity a year in North America? Do you know, or a rough idea?
Yeah, not very many. So last year, I feel like there were two females that produced cubs in North America, and in this last season, I don't believe there were any.
And the polar bear population around the world, I mean, that's they're on the front lines of climate change, right? Because you've got, especially up in the North Pole, you've got ice flows not coming together mm-hmm. like they were. You've got, and it's there's nothing worse than a polar bear stuck on, you know, where they can't get down to where they're able to find the food and the stuff. They're very sad stories about mm-hmm. what's going on up there. So this is really an important program to keep the species alive, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. You know, polar bears, they live in a really harsh climate. They seem incredibly tough and well suited to their environment, but because they're so specific, they're actually very vulnerable to changes in that environment. And we see that with the ice. If the ice doesn't form earlier than like in the normal pattern, if it's forming later, then they don't get to hunt. Especially females don't get to eat really well and build up their stores to go into the denning season. And so they give birth, they're out of condition, and their offspring are smaller when they're born. And then when she gets out and she goes to hunt, the ice is already starting to recede, and then her food supply is even less. So it's extremely stressful on them to be in that environment where they can't get to their normal food source.
So now I did read in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the last line.
You seem
line
very
of the
impressed
story.
By the story.
Oh,
you
my
read
God.
Every detail of
I did.
Story.
Well, it's fascinating because I happen to love this exhibit. I go to the Linden Park Zoo all the time.
Park
I walk
Zoo.
Through there. And this exhibit, and I was so sad about that, the female polar bear that died earlier this year. And it is just because you go and you get to see how magnificent.
I know. They're such ambassadors for their species, and they make kids understand and care about them because you don't otherwise just reading about them. You get to see them and understand
right.
that these are worthy of preserving and doing what we can to keep them around for a while.
And the mating ritual, I just think the mating ritual is so similar to how humans are.
Oh, really?
I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's if you have to extrapolate a little bit, but it kind of works. Uh-huh. And I was really touched by this, but what you guys at the zoo, you're trying to figure out if these guys are actually doing it. Now, how would you know that? And what I don't want to get,
they're watching.
Well, but you weren't sure in the story. They were like, we think they might have, but we're not sure.
Right. So, I mean, they're big animals, and we have them on camera 24 hours a day. We have people observing them and watching their behavior during the day, but it can be subtle. Like, if he might be in the right position, but you're not sure that what actually needs to happen is happening.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that close.
She might not even know it's happening.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
I've been accused of that. Now, do they sleep next to each other? Where do they sleep?
Yeah, so they love sleeping outside, and I'm taking a look at them on camera right now. They're both outside sleeping, but she's sleeping, and I think he is laying down staring at her. So.
Oh, I know what he's thinking,
Nobody likes to wake up to someone staring
at them.
Breathing
heavily?
Give her some space, man.
What are you dreaming about?
Oh, yeah, that is definitely the worst.
He needs some coaching.
Yeah. He needs to play a little hard to get. That's what the girls like.
He's 8 years old. He's right in
frisky.
He's in the prime of life, and he's just, he's like, listen, you're beautiful. I love you. You're new to the environment here. This is all great. Now, what happens? Now, does the cub get to stay at Lincoln Park Zoo, or does the cub just go now part of this expansion? What happens here if they do? If they're lucky enough,
if we're lucky enough to have cubs, they would stay with Tellini for a year, maybe two tops, and then the SSP would make a recommendation for them to move to another institution and probably put into a breeding situation.
Does she stay here, or these guys move around? Do we get to keep these, or do we? What happens here with the boy and the girl now?
Yeah, the SSP is sensitive to not moving them around too much. So the hope is that they would stay here for a few years, produce cubs, and then if that either happened or didn't happen, then based on how the population looks, they might move one or the other bear out and bring another bear in.
What if we decide he's creepy? He's just not.
Or she decides he's creepy.
Right. He's just not. He's just kind
it's
of
not working.
But does that way works? And I mean, I'm sure that this list is looking at people who are successful, like it would in all breeding, would look at who's successful at being able to do this.
Yeah, right. The institutions, and then there's also a little bit of personality that goes into some of these planning. So it's not just the sheer numbers, but compatibility matters. So we do give some behavioral reports about the animals so that they have a chance to pair up animals that they feel like they would have the best chance of reproducing.
I really hope this works out, man. I hope it works out for them. I like them both. I think they're a nice couple. I get that she's a little creeped out by him, but he's younger. He's a little more, impetuous. And I just think that if the two of them could just kind of work out that difference right there, and she could understand that this is really about love. This isn't just about, him being creepy.
But it is an arranged marriage, and you just never know.
Yeah,
you never know how it's going to go.
That is true.
It only takes one time. Come on, guys.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, that
looking
does
for
it,
outcomes here.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe the
practice does make perfect is what he's probably thinking.
I don't know. It takes more than once, probably, right?
It doesn't have to. No, it can just take one time.
All right. Okay. Well, I know. I was told that in 10th grade, too. But I'm just saying that it's like, but is it,
does it take right away?
Yeah.
Typically.
Or is there like a lot of this that goes on and then eventually, they den and then they come out with cubs?
Well, for these like induced ovulators, so the ones that end up needing to breed in order to ovulate, they end up breeding more frequently than just one time.
Okay.
And I'm sure that they do that just in order to like hedge their bets. Yeah. You know, the more opportunities they have to breed, then the better chances they are of getting pregnant.
Yeah, that's what I always said, yeah. All right. All right, Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Congratulations on this. I hope this works out. And again, the Lincoln Park Zoo, one of the best institutions in the world for this kind of thing.
No question.
And, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Dave Bernier from Lincoln Park. All right. Well, I think we got a lot of information out of that.
It felt like
didn't
a weird sixth grade sex education class.
Mm-hmm.
Induced ovulation.
Violetta, what's coming up in the WGN traffic? What's happening on the roads, actually? You don't have to tell us what's coming up. What's actually happening?